بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، اما بعد، after the Asr Salah we were busy discussing the hadith of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he mentioned that when my ummah will indulge in 15 activities, then calamities will come upon them. Difficulties, challenges will come upon them. So of those 15 activities, we have discussed about 9 already. After Asr, we discussed further 2. Last majlis, we discussed 7. The 2 that were discussed, just by way of a marginal note, with regard to the masajid, we were talking about the masala that it is impermissible to cross the path of a musalli that is engaged in salah. And the sin, the gravity of the sin is also great. As you heard that in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to this effect, there is a person crossing the path of a musalli knew what a great sin this is. He would be prepared to wait for 40 to 100 years for the musalli to terminate his salah before he crosses his path. So therefore we should be very careful of this. But as I mentioned by way of a marginal note, the musalli also should be careful when he performs his salah. If possible, behind a pillar, put a chair in front of him, put some object in front of him as a barrier. Then the person that goes outside of the chair, out of that barrier, will not be sinful in crossing the path of that musalli. So the person performing the salah too shouldn't perform the salah, let's say, at the doorway, at the exit, where people will be passing by, causing people to commit a sin. So a person also should choose a spot for his nafil sunnat where many people do not cross his path. At the same time, there is also a masala that if it is a big masjid, known as Masjid al-Kabir, in a big masjid there is some leeway of crossing the path of a musalli. Like big masjid, the fuqaha jurists have written, a masjid that is about 40 arms length and 40 arms in breadth. 40 by 40. Arms length would mean from the tip of the finger to the elbow. Mufti Rashid Ahmad Sahib Ludhiani Rahmatullahi in his kitab Ahsan al-Fatawa has calculated this in terms of meterage. He says your masjid is about 335.4 square meters. 335.4 square meters, that is considered as a big masjid. So in a big masjid there is some leeway, meaning that the person performing salah, obviously he is performing on his musalla, on that surf. When he looks at the place of sajda, then automatically he can see a little ahead of him, even though he is focused on the place of sajda. So generally, besides the surf that he is standing on, he will be able to see for one more surf ahead of him. So if a person crosses his path, leaves two surfs. One is a surf where the musalli is performing salah, and one more surf in front of him. He crosses beyond that, even though there's no chair, no barrier, then he will not be sinful. But as a precaution, better to leave a further two surfs. The surf where he's performing salah, another two surfs ahead of him, three rows in all, you leave, and then cross the path, then you will not be sinful. So this is with regard to a big masjid. This Jamia Masjid, after the renovation extension, it fits the description. Our Darul Ulum Masjid as well, also is big enough to fit the description, as opposed to Masjid al-Taqwa, Masjid al-Ansar, they are still smaller masjids. So in a small masjid, even if you cross five steps ahead of the musalli, then too you will be sinful. So in a big masjid, in a Masjid al-Kabir, if you leave two or three steps and then cross, inshallah, you will not be sinful. So to keep that in mind. And with regard to the ninth point that we discussed, When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْغَلَهُمْ, that a time will come when the leader of people will be the lowest of the low. A person who doesn't deserve to occupy that post, he will be given a post of authority, and that is happening today. So in one hadith, Nabi Karim warns also, the people who elect such a person to that post should also be very, very careful. They should consider all the characteristics, the abilities, qualifications of the person before they appoint him. So in one hadith, Nabi warns that in spite of knowing that a certain person is more capable, he has more qualities of occupying the post, in spite of that, he is relegated, put into the background, and another person who is not fit for that post, if he is elected to that post of authority, then the people that have elected him, they have betrayed the trust of Allah, betrayed the trust of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and betrayed the trust of the mu'mineen. So whether it is a government post, whether it is a post on a madrasa, masjid committee, whatever the case may be, the people who elect these people to the post should also ponder very, very carefully. If they feel that so-and-so is not worthy of the post, they should not appoint him, not elect him to that post. So nonetheless, we went through 9 points already. The 10th point, Nabi Sallam mentions that when this takes place, then also tragedies, calamities will befall the ummah. And what is the 10th point? إِذَا أُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ إِذَا أُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. Normally we know the norm, the trend is that if someone possesses good qualities, he has taqwa, dindari, piety with him, people will respect him, honor him, and he ought to be honored and respected also. Allah says in the Quran, to إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable of you are those who possess the highest level of taqwa. So that is a general rule, and that is how it should be. We respect people for their piety, for their knowledge, for their dindari, for dini qualities within them, good characteristics, good character traits, good demeanor. We respect such people. But Nabi Sallam warns that a time will come before Qiyamah that people will honor someone just to safeguard themselves from the mischief of that person. In other words, that person does not possess good qualities. He does not have taqwa, dindari. He doesn't have all those qualities that require people to honor him, to respect him. But in order to safeguard themselves from his mischief, they will make salam to him, they will honor him. In other words, people that have perhaps connections in the upper levels of government, that if a person has to upset that man, he has all the connections, contacts, to have this person put into jail also, without any valid reason. Or perhaps he has contacts with the drug cartels, with the mafia, with gangsters, that if you happen to trap on his toes, and that person will put you away, have you kidnapped, assassinate you, have you murdered, have you killed, have you harmed, or you'll harm your family. So people of this nature that have mischief within them, they have no sublime good qualities, they have all the evil qualities, but because they are influential in society, they have contacts in the right places, in government circles, with the mafia, with the drug cartels. So just to avoid their mischief, we make salam to them, we show respect to them. So this also is a sign of Qiyamah, and you see it happening today. That we make salam to people, just to avoid their mischief, so that they do not put us into trouble. Sad to say, but that is happening today. So a person with this evil quality should take stock of himself. That why are people respecting me? Why are people making salam to me? Do I possess good qualities? Taqwa? Knowledge of deen? Good characteristics? If he does an introspection, he will realize himself that no, it is because of my evil ways that people are greeting me, making salam to me. They wish to avoid my mischief. They realize that if they tramp on my toes, I will put them away. For that reason, people are respecting me. So that person himself should take stock of himself. That I should become a better person. I should possess those qualities that are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which people would then respect me for my good qualities and not for my evil qualities. So this is the 11th aspect mentioned by Nabi Karim Sahasam, that when a person will be respected, honored, just so that people can avoid his mischief and can avoid trouble. The 11th point Nabi Karim Sahasam mentions was shuribatul khumur, that liquor will be consumed. And that we see happening today, openly, Muslims also indulging in liquor and other intoxicants, whether it be drugs, substance abuse, right at the forefront, you will find Muslims. Many a time you find people at the airports are caught smuggling cocaine, smuggling drugs through the customs, and they are caught, and they have Muslim names. Whether they are in reality Muslim or not, Allah knows best. But they have Muslim names. If you go to America and some European countries, you find migrants from so-called Muslim countries. They are opening liquor stores. They are selling liquor to the public. People with Muslim names. They are operating liquor franchises, liquor stores. So Nabi Sam warns that when liquor will be consumed, then calamities will come upon the Ummah. In the initial stages of Islam, it was permissible to consume wine. Liquor was permitted. The Arab nation was habitual of consuming liquor from the days of Jahiliyyah, from the days of ignorance. So when Islam came to the lives of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, some of them already, the guilty conscience began to prick them that drinking wine does not seem to be a sane thing to do. It seems to be improper. Let us go and ask Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So two Sahaba, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, they came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him. And that concern in their voices, they were looking forward for liquor to be completely forbidden in Islam. So they asked Nabi Karim Sam about liquor. At the same time they asked about gambling as well. So verse of the Quran was revealed, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ وَمَنَافِعُ كَبِيرٌ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. That people ask you about liquor and about gambling. So they say to them, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. That it is a great transgression, but at the same time, people see certain perceived benefits in it. Then the Quran goes on to say, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. The harms of liquor and gambling outweigh the benefits. So there was no clear-cut ruling as yet as far as prohibition is concerned. But they were told that if you ponder carefully, the harm outweighs the benefit. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala was still concerned that when the harms are dominant, it is something that ought to be prohibited. He engaged in dua, Allahumma bayyin lana bayanan shafiyan, O Allah, you elaborate further something that will put us at ease with regard to liquor, with regard to wine. So after that an incident occurred in the home of Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, a wealthy sahabi. He had invited some friends and they were consuming wine because it was still permissible. And when the time for Maghrib Salah came, they put one sahabi in front as the imam in the house to perform the Maghrib Salah. He recited Surah Al-Kafirun. Instead of reciting قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, mistakenly, because he was in a drunken stupor, he recited قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. So the original verse says that O kuffar, O mushrikeen, I do not worship that which you worship. I do not worship idols. But because of the drunken condition, in his tilawat, he left out the letter La, and he changed the entire meaning, completely opposite. That, O mushrikeen, O kafirun, na'udhu billah, I also worship that which you worship. So when this mistake took place, then thereafter, Allah Ta'ala revealed a further verse, La taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. If you are in a drunken condition, you do not even go near salah. First become sober, and then you go and perform salah, read your salah, complete your salah. So here, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala became happier, then at least gradually, slowly but surely, Allah is progressing towards prohibition. Then an incident took place in the house of Ithman bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. Here two people were consuming liquor. It was not yet totally forbidden. And people became drunk. In the drunken condition, one Muhajir Sahabi, migrant from Makkah al-Mukarramah that migrated to Madinah Munawwara, he began to praise the Muhajirin, the migrant Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and he began to ridicule and run down the Ansar, the inhabitants of Madinah Munawwara. So this angered some of the Ansar Sahaba which were present there. They had also consumed liquor. They were also not in a sober condition. So one person from the Ansar became so incensed with anger, he got hold of the shoulder bone of a camel. You can well imagine what a big bone that would be. And he flung it to the head of the Muhajir that was ridiculing the Ansar Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And that Muhajir fell unconscious. When this occurred, then they all got into the fray. 50 cuffs first began to fly from all over. Objects were picked up and thrown at one another. Eventually, after some time, when the fighting had terminated, many people were lying unconscious on the floor. When they got up, now they were sober, they saw some person's head was split, some person's face was wounded, some person's entire beard was pulled out, some people's teeth were broken. This fighting that ensued resulted in this. So thereafter, then a final verse of the Quran was revealed to indicate that now this will become totally prohibited. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. That this liquor, gambling, idols, idol worshipping, divining arrows, these are all the work of the shaitan. This is a filthy work of the shaitan. So abstain from it totally. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانَ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمْ الْعَذَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَى فِي الْخَمْرِ. The shaitan wishes to create enmity between you. Referring to the incident that took place, where a fight broke up and people beat one another unconscious. So this was a handiwork of shaitan. So when these verses were revealed, then khamar, wine, became totally prohibited. But look at the level of iman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Once they got the message that wine has been prohibited, some of the Sahaba, just before getting the message, hearing of this verse, he had already taken some liquor into his mouth. He was about to let it go down the gullet, and someone informed him that now liquor had become prohibited. Immediately he spat it out. Another person had it in the glass, about to drink, heard the verse, he threw the glass down, smashed it into pieces. Others had liquor filled in huge urns. They threw those urns out onto the streets from Madinah Munawwara. And it is said on that day, liquor was flowing in the streets of Madinah Munawwara like when rainwater flows when there is a heavy storm. They got rid of it all. So much so that one Sahabi had gone to Syria. He used to go to Syria for business, and he brought with him a huge stock of liquor. When he entered Medina, he heard the news that liquor had been now forbidden. Immediately he went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I purchased all this liquor. I've heard that liquor is forbidden. I wish for all this to be destroyed. So some Sahaba assisted him and broke all those urns, all those containers, all that liquor was all thrown onto the streets. This was the level of iman of the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And this was the hikmat and the wisdom behind gradually forbidding liquor. It was not forbidden overnight, out of the blue, all of a sudden. And this is what Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha refers to in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, that لو أنزل أول شيء لا تشرب الخمر لقالوا لا ندع الخمر أبدا. That if all of a sudden out of the blue, if the prohibition had to come, they do not consume liquor, many of them would have said, you will never be able to abandon drinking of liquor. So in this way, a gradual process of nurturing took place. First, they were explained about the harms, that the harms outweigh the benefits, and then they were told not to consume liquor before performing salah, and eventually it became totally forbidden, so this became easy for them to accept, and immediately they put it into practice. Even trading in liquor became forbidden. In one hadith it is said to this effect, that there are number of people who are connected with liquor who have been cursed by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obviously the curse of Allah will also befall them. Among them are the people who manufacture liquor, those for whom it is manufactured, those who sell liquor, trade in liquor, and then they utilize the proceeds, those who purchase the liquor, those who transport liquor, those for whom the liquor is transported. All these people fall under the purview of the curse of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith there is such a severe warning, that inna mutmin al khamr ka'abid al wasn, aw kama qala al sa'a. There is a person who is habitual of drinking liquor. His sin, the gravity of his sin, is like a person who worships idols. Such is the gravity of the sin. In one hadith it is mentioned to this effect, that the person who consumes liquor, his ibadat for 40 days will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not something to view lightly, whether it is liquor, whether it is other substance abuse. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi, the famous muhaddith, has mentioned, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mala Muhammad Zakir Asar rahmatullahi, has also mentioned this somewhere. He mentions with regard to opium, which is a drug. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi says, there are more than 70 harms in consuming opium. And he says the least of those harms is nisyanu shahadati inda al-maut. A person is habitual of substance abuse, liquor, drugs, whatever the case may be, and the time of death, you will forget to recite the kalima. On the other hand, Mullah Liqari, Rahmatullahi, the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes, with regard to the benefits of miswak, that there are more than 70 benefits in using miswak on the teeth, brushing the mouth, and he says, adanaha tazakkuru shahadati indal maut. That the least benefit is that the person will remember to recite the kalima at the time of death. So it is something to consider very carefully. Shuribat al-khubur. We know when a person drinks, consumes liquor, his mind is not stable. He might bump into a post box, red in color, and say, hello, Mr. Postman. It's a post box. But in the drunken stupor, he'll think it's a person. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi, he's mentioned a few incidents about the condition of drunken people. It may sound amusing, but it is a reality. One person became so drunk, a Muslim, that in a drunken state, he began to urinate, and he did not allow the urine to fall on the floor. He gathered it in his hand, and he began to wipe it over his face, over his arms, as if he is making wudu, and then even recited, Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin, the dua that he recited at the end of wudu. Another drunken person, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah mentioned, was lying in a drunken stupor on the floor. A dog came, and the dog began to lick his face with its napak tongue. So in the drunken stupor, he thought some human being has come and is petting my face. So he gave him dua, that akramakallah kama akramtani. May Allah honor you just as you have honored me. This is the condition of consuming liquor. So something not to take lightly. Whether it is actual wine and liquor, whether it is drugs, substance abuse leads to many, many evils. Something we ought to avoid. There were some Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajmain whom Allah Ta'ala protected from liquor even in the days of Jahiliyyah. One of them, Hazrat Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. Of course, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a given, we don't have to mention. Allah protected him. And some Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajmain were also protected. One of them was a brother of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. Once Nabi Karim Sa'adam came to Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala and conveyed a message to him that the last time when Allah ta'ala revealed wahi upon me, he asked me to convey salams to you. That is to Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. Imagine salams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Sallallahu also informed him that Allah ta'ala said that he's conveying salams because of four beautiful qualities that you possess. So then Nabi Sallallahu asked him that what are these four qualities that Allah is referring to? Allah did not elaborate. So the Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, a humble person, but because he was questioned by Nabi Karim Sa'adun, he divulged the four qualities. He said the first one is that even in the days of Jahiliyyah, days of ignorance, I never touched a drop of liquor. I never drank wine. And the second quality, he says, that even in the days of Jahiliyyah, I never worshipped idols. I knew our Creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we worship stone that cannot benefit or harm anyone? So I abstain from idol worshipping. And the third quality, he says, that from the days of Jahiliyyah too, I never spoke a lie. I always speak the truth. And the fourth quality, he said, I never gazed at a strange woman. I always lowered my gaze. I never set my eyes on a strange woman. So Nabi Sam became immensely overjoyed to hear these four qualities, that yes, because of this you deserve to be conveyed salams from none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nonetheless, Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورِ. When this will take place, liquor, drugs, similar things will be consumed, then calamity will come upon this ummah. So this is the 10th aspect, or rather the 11th, after mentioning the 7 of last week. We did 2 after Asr, there's 9. And now these 2, when a person will be honored just to protect oneself from his mischief, and when liquor will be consumed. So there's 11 points out of the 15. The 12th point mentioned by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَلُبِسَ الْحَرِيرِ, that men will begin to wear silken garments. For men it is prohibited to wear pure silk, forbidden. Women are allowed to wear silk, but not men. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this will become prevalent even among the men folk. And today we see this. Men emulating women in the way of dressing, and vice versa also. Women emulating men as far as their dressing is concerned. So this is one way of emulating women, that men will begin to don silken garments. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, also calamities will come upon this ummah. And thereafter, the remaining 3 aspects, Nabi Sallallahu mentions, وَاتُّخِذَتِ الْقَيْنَاتِ. This is number 13. That people will indulge in getting dancing women to perform in front of them, to entertain them. Arabs were accustomed to this. They used to actually purchase slave women who were trained to dance, and they would have musical sessions and let these women dress in alluring garments, attractive garments, and then begin to dance before men, in that way attracting them towards zina, towards adultery, towards fornication. So when this will become rife, then calamities will come. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Da'an Barakatuh, mentions that now that we do not see slavery around the world, but this action has taken a different form. That people now switch on the TV, watch these movies. In the movies you see women dancing, and people looking at these dancing women, being attracted to them, and they get that urge to commit zina, to commit guna. So the TV is there to take over this evil now. Switch on the TV, whether it's a Hollywood or Bollywood movie, whether it's a soap opera, you see women performing there, dancing before the viewers. So this has taken over the actual real physical women that were brought. And the 14th aspect Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, wal ma'azif, that people will play musical instruments. And that is happening today. What is really shocking, mind-boggling, on the doorstep of the Haramain, not far from Makkah, in Jeddah, in Riyadh, musical concerts taking place today, raves taking place, right in front of the doorstep of the Holy Land. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu has prophesied, has predicted, it is going to happen. And this will draw the wrath, anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will incur the anger of Allah, calamities will befall people, many, many tragedies will occur. So this is also happening in the form of TVs, in the form of other instruments of evil. And one of the biggest fitnas of this day and age are the smartphones. TV in the pocket. Whenever a person wants to, goes on to YouTube, You can see men, women singing, women dancing, whatever evil you can think of, on the smartphones. People abuse this instrument. It was meant to be a communication tool, but now it has become an instrument of primarily evil actions taking place. So much so, that there was a time you wouldn't dream of music playing in the masjid, in the house of Allah. Yet it's happening today. We set our phones on musical ringtones, and music plays in the masjid. Our pious predecessors would turn in their graves if they had to see this. Once Hazrat Haji Padia Sahib Rahmatullahi was traveling somewhere overseas out for the fikr of Dawat and Tabligh. On the plane, on the seat next to him, there was a pastor sitting there, a Christian priest. And the pastor saw the apparel, clothing of Haji Bhai Padia, white clothing, turban, kurta. He realizes the man of deen, religious person. So he asked Haji Bhai Padia, the priest asked him, where are you off to? Haji Sahib replied, to a certain country, in order to remind our Muslim brethren to come back onto the path of deen, to practice upon deen. They become neglectful, just as a reminder. So the pastor said something to Haji Bhai Padia, something that left him shocked. The pastor said, no matter how much effort you are making, we Christians are making inroads not only into your Muslim homes, but into the masajid as well, into the masjid. Haji Sahib asked him to elaborate. So he said that you have these huge grandfather clocks at home in the masjid as well. Nowadays we have digital clocks. The older people know, in the old days, you have these huge clocks even in the masjid. Hour upon hour, it would chime. The bell would ring, ding dong, similar to the ringing of Big Ben in London. 11 a.m., 11 p.m., it would ring 11 times. Before that, there would be a little musical jingle, and then the dongs would take place. So the pastor was referring to this, that you Muslims claim that we Christians play the organ, the piano in our churches, and you claim that your places of worship are free of music, but by bringing these clocks into the masjid, they brought music into your masajid. So as I said, when Haji Bhai Padia passed away, maybe the cell phones were just beginning to come into vogue. They were still like bricks, no smartphones, just merely to make calls. People like Haji Sahib, other pious predecessors, if they had seen this time and age, they would turn in their graves. That today, people opening their phones in the masjids, going onto YouTube, watching cricket matches, soccer matches, sitting in one corner of the masjid, music playing in the masjid, videos playing in the masjid. We can well imagine that will this not incur the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tragedies will occur. Calamities will occur. So we have to be very cognizant of this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that this also will take place. Dancing women, musical instruments, and the last point Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, وَلَعَنَا آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. That the latter part of this ummah will curse the earlier people of this ummah. That is happening. What are the Shias doing? Shias consider themselves as Muslims, but when you listen to these beliefs of the Shias that I'm about to mention, is there any doubt left? then they are out of the fold of Islam. They have committed kufr. They curse the Sahaba-i Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Na'udhu billah. In the Shia books it is written that the Shias distance themselves, dissociate themselves from four prominent Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Muawiyah radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. High ranking Sahaba. And they also dissociate themselves from four great Sahabiya women. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, Hazrat Hafsa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Hinda radhiyallahu anha, and Hazrat Arqam radhiyallahu anha. The Shia say that na'udhu billah, all the Sahaba kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in became murtad, renegade, apostate, with the exception of three. Who are those three? Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, and Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. The Shias have not even spared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they say? It is written in their books. They claim that na'uzu billah, Allah qabal, that Allah ta'ala made a mistake, na'uzu billah. Allah makes no mistakes. Allah is infallible. But they say Allah made a mistake by sending Jibreel alayhi salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. He was supposed to be sent to Ali radiallahu ta'ala with the wahi, with the revelation, not to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. So imagine, for 23 years of revelation, na'uzu billah, did Allah not realize that mistake? So they haven't spared Allah ta'ala. Can they be considered to be mu'minin? How can such a person have iman? And then Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, the incident of Ifk that took place during a certain journey, when she got left behind the traveling caravan, Safwan bin Mu'attal radhiyallahu ta'ala, a sahabi, was assigned to remain at the back of the army to see wherever the army stopped for a little while, if any goods were left behind. He noticed from a distance a lonely figure. He came close. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha had fallen asleep. Because it was desert, there was no one around, her face was open. He recognized her because he had seen her in childhood. That this is Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. He read, Inna lillahi wa inna ila raji'un. On that her eyes opened, immediately she made parda. She covered her face. So Safwan bin Mu'attal radhiyallahu anha realized that for some reason she got left behind, she's lost. So he beckoned to his conveyance that she must get onto the camel, and he pulled the reins until they reached the army and rejoined with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This news reached Medina Munawwara. The hypocrites, munafiqeen, began to spread this news like wildfire. Then Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha was for that distance of the journey, all alone with a strange man. They began to slander her, began to accuse her. Allah Ta'ala revealed an entire ruku' to declare the innocence of Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. In spite of that, what do the Shia say? They say when Imam Mahdi will come, he will, na'uzu billah, remove the body of Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha from a grave and flog her with the punishment of adultery, na'uzu billah min dhalik. So how can such people be considered mu'minin? So this is what Nabi Sallam is referring to, that the latter part of this ummah will curse the earlier portion of the ummah. The sahaba of that level, the Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا. Allah Ta'ala attached the label of taqwa to the Sahaba Ikram Radhiyallahu Anhum Ajma'in. Radhiyallahu Ta'ala Anhum wa radu anhu. Allah declared his happiness and the Sahaba Radhiyallahu Anhum Ajma'in. Ulaika murashidun. Ulaika humul faizun. أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم بالتقوى. Allah Ta'ala tested them for their taqwa and they came through with flying colors. Yet these people malign them and say, Na'uzu billah, they are renegades, they are apostates. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. When you hear people swearing at my Sahaba, say to them, may Allah Ta'ala's curse descend upon your evil. They consider themselves to be Muslim, they are not Muslim. Out of the fall of Islam. How can such people be considered to be Muslim who have beliefs of this nature? In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, with regard to the fadail, virtues of the Sahaba, that la tasubbu ashabi. فَإِنَّ لَوْ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا مَا أَدْرَكَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ أَوْ نَصِيفَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاتِسَ. Do not swear, do not slander my Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. If any of you were to spend the equivalent of Mount Uhud in gold, then to you not yet the reward of one Sahabi spending a handful of grain in the path of Allah. That was their ikhlas. That was their caliber. Allama Ibn Abdul Bar Maliki Rahmatullahi, in his book Al Isti'ab fi Marifat al Ashab, he mentions that the very fact that in the Quran Allah Ta'ala openly declared his happiness and the Sahaba Ikram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in shows that Allah will be happy with them for eternity, because Allah Ta'ala is aware of the past, present and future. He knows the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in will not commit any action to displease Allah even in the future. So Allah has declared his happiness over the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, where the rest of the Jannatis will only hear that declaration of happiness when they're going to Jannat. It comes in the hadith. Allah will address them, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, O people of Jannat, they will say, Labbaik wa Sa'daik wa Khayru fi Yadaik. We are present, we are prepared to accept good fortune by attending to your wishes of Allah. Everything is within your control. Allah will ask them, Hal Razitum? Are you happy in Jannat? They will reply, then why should we not be happy? فَإِنَّكَ عَطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُؤْتِيَ حَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ. You have given us so many bounties in Jannat that we have not given to any of your creation. Then Allah will tell them, أَلَا أُوْتِيكُمْ أَفْضَلَ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. Shall I not give you something even better? They will say, what can be better than the bounties of Jannat? Then Allah will say, أُحِلُّ لَكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَإِنِّي لَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. That I declare my happiness over you, the people of Jannat, which is the rest of the people in Jannat, apart from the Anbiya and the Sahaba, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, I will never become angry with you. So that declaration of Allah's happiness will only take place when we enter Jannat. Because in the world, Allah has only declared this happiness for the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. That is their caliber. Ashabi kan nujum, they are like stars. So we should not malign, slander the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in in any way whatsoever. There are people that even slander the Aimai Mushtahideen. There is a person by the name of Shamsuddin Salafi. He was given a doctorate from Medina University, a PhD. Yet he has written filth. The booklet that he wrote, perhaps for his thesis, is entitled Juhudul Ulama fi Ibtali Aqaid al Qaburiya. In that book he writes that people that follow any of the four madhabs are what is known as Qabar Pujaris, grave worshippers. Hanafis are worshipping, na'udhu billah, Imam Hanifa, Shawafi worshipping Imam Shafi, and so forth and so on. And he writes in that book, the filth he has written, mind-boggling. Yet he was given a PhD from Medina University. He writes that the chief of all the grave worshippers is Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi. And then he writes about Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi, who was a great Sufi, Wali of Allah, whom Hazrat Hakim Akhtasab Rahmatullahi used to quote extensively. About him he writes that he has written all nonsense, nonsensical fables. He writes about Shaykh Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi Rahmatullahi that he is Shaykh al-Kufr. He is a Shaykh of Kufr. To these people, Salafis, they don't follow any Imam whatsoever. They slander the Imam Mujtahideen. They slander our pious predecessors, Mawlana Mawdudi was also a person that made the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum a target of his criticism, running down the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. He was also misguided. On one occasion, someone took a book, written work of Mawdudi Sahab to Mawlana Abdul Ghafur Abbasi Rahmatullahi in Medina Munawwara. He was a Shaykh also of Marhum Hafiz Abdul Rahman Nia Rahmatullahi. So Mawlana Abdul Ghafur Abbasi Rahmatullahi of the Naqshbandiya Silsala, in old age, eyesight was failing. So someone brought a book written by Mawdudi Sahab and they asked him to listen to this book. So he said, okay, start reading. The man starts reading. The first page of the book is normally starts with a khutbah. Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu, and so forth. But when the khutbah was recited, the content of the book was not even read out. Shaykh Maulana Abdul Ghafur Abbasi said to the person, stop, stop, that is enough. I can see misguidance dripping from these words. Yes, these were the words of the khutbah, the type of words he used. From that, being Sahib Kashf, he said, I can detect misguidance from the book that you are reading before me. So these were people that slandered the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, slandered our pious predecessors. So Nabi Karim Kaazim says, when these 15 activities will take place, فَلْيَرْتَقِبُ عِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرًا أَوْ خَسْفًا وَمَسْخًا. But when these 15 activities take place, then great calamities will occur. You will even see red winds. Red winds referring to fire will rain down from the skies. When volcanic eruptions take place, the fire spurts it upwards and then rains down upon the people, creating that vision of red sand, red air. And Nabi Sallam says, earthquakes will take place. People will be disfigured. Meaning maybe even in literal sense, people's faces will be changed to that of donkeys, monkeys. It could also refer in the metaphorical sense, figuratively, that people's nature will change. They will become more cruel, more harsh. instead of being sympathetic to the makhluk, to the creation of Allah. So these are the 15 activities. Then Nabi Sallam says, when they will take place, then calamities will befall the ummah. Allah give us the tawfiq of avoiding, as far as possible, these 15 activities. If you are guilty of them, we turn to Allah Ta'ala in repentance. Allah is prepared to forgive us, make sincere tawbah, so that inshallah, with the barakat of the tawbah, Allah can avert these calamities from the Muslim ummah. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. In the morning, inshallah, as usual, after Fajr, short tafsir will take place. Our zikr majlis, half an hour before the Fajr Adhan. Adhan is at 10 to 5, so 20 past 4, inshallah, in the masjid, whenever our zikr majlis. Those brothers who wish to stay over are welcome. Breakfast will also be served in the morning. Allah give us tawfiq. Our next majlis, inshallah, on the 5th of March, coinciding with more or less, inshallah, with the 1st of Shaban. And brothers also requested in the Shaban majlis, make mashura at home. Those who wish to sit for i'tikaf, whether for the whole month or the last 10 days, make mashura, come prepared. Give your names in, so inshallah, the necessary preparations towards that also may take place for i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. We are on the threshold of the month of Ramadan. Allah keep us well and healthy once again to witness, inshallah, the blessed month. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.